Hey y'all, what's up? This is episode
11,
and you're now kicking it with Key.
Okay, so good evening. Look, I'm just really excited because I want to use your "come on in the room." But I want to thank you for coming to kick it with me today. I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce yourself to everyone, and then we could go ahead. We're just going to have us a little kiki and just, what's that?
Absolutely. Well, I am Monroe Alice. I am a spiritual advisor. I am a minister of circumstance. I am a comedian. I'm a host. I'm a media personality. I'm an overall entertainer. And most importantly, in this new life, I am Key's sister.
Yes. Oh my God.
We go way back, honey.
Way back, and I miss you so much, and I'm not gonna lie, like, please, can I have some pork chops, mashed potatoes, and collard greens? Okay.
Listen, baby, you know what? I don't even have the chance to cook like I used to. You know, I really don't have, I don't have the time. I'm always on the go, but I enjoy cooking when I have the opportunity to cook. When I have the opportunity to cook, I cook.
I miss them days when it was like, come on and cook, and I'm like, okay, here I come. But now I got these kids too. Who got time for that?
How are they, by the way?
Girl, let me tell you. The boy, I mean, they're good. It's the girl is just like a mini me, which is a lot to handle because it's like,
yeah, oh, I can imagine.
This is me.
I can imagine.
My son, he's really more like laid back, chill. He likes being at home by himself. Like, he don't really got time for us. But my daughter, she's just a really big personality. I don't know what we're going to do with her.
Well, I mean, look at her mother.
You know. I'm not to toot my own horn, but beep, beep. So, let's travel back. Let's take it back to when we first met. And
absolutely.
How that, and then we could just tell our story, right?
Okay.
All right. So, we met in college.
We did.
I cannot believe, like, that was almost 16 years ago.
16 entire years. Yeah. You know what? Life has been so fast, yet so slow at the same time. Like, you having children, you know, me and this whole transformation and, you know, this whole evolution of life and, you know, everything that we've become. I'm really proud of you and the mother and wife that you are. Like, you know, that's life. This is what happens, you know?
Thank you. And I'm so proud of you too. But we're going to get to where I'm so proud of you. We're going to get
to that. Okay. Come on. Listen, I'm just here. You asked the question.
Okay. So look, I remember our first year in college. Mm-hmm. I think second semester, I think we was always together second semester.
Absolutely. '05.
Back when I had like red hair. I had red hair. Mm-hmm. And I have like tons of pictures of us. Like, I must have thought I was cute that week or something.
I was seeing these pictures.
Like, I must have thought I was cute because I just kept, like, it's so many pictures of these two different days. I was just flicking it up the whole time.
Oh God, we thought we was the shit back then, honey.
Listen. Okay, really?
Baby.
Okay, so you know, fresh year, I think we had some couple classes together too, because I think you took TV production with me too, right?
I did, intro to TV, yeah. Intro to media, yes.
So we was in that class together, and then look at us, still into this TV stuff or wow. Some form of
gift.
It, right?
It's a gift, yes.
But I want to say, what was that? That was the second year. I think we was like this.
Yeah.
Back when the martini. Rest in peace to Kenny. I cannot believe, you know, Kenny passed away, but rest in peace to Kenny.
Rest in peace, Kenny.
Because that was our car, the martini.
Yeah. Girl, can you listen? For those that are watching this, okay, I was huge. I stand 6'3" now, like 280 pounds, okay? And I was driving at the time a Nissan Sentra, like 95, honey. It was like a cubicle. Like, it really was a three-seater. It was a three-seater. Like, we were, listen, they got us from A to B, baby. They got us from
Washington, D.C. everywhere. All the way to Allegheny. Okay, we was everywhere in that car. Mm-hmm. And if we wasn't listening to Lloyd, of course it was our girl Beyonce.
Absolutely.
We loved that beat. We played that B-Day CD out.
Out, honey, out.
So I remember back then, your hair has always been laid. Like,
oh, thank you, darling. Always, thank you.
Always laid. Even in college, hair was laid. So it's just like, look, yeah. First of all, I'm jealous because I'm like, first of all, why your hair look better than mine? But we ain't even.
Please, your hair has been always beautiful, too. Stop what you're doing. You've always had beautiful hair.
So I remember, you know, us in the Markini, we did everything together. We was at the Walmart, we was at the thrift store, mm-hmm. the grocery store, mm-hmm. you know, getting our dogs.
All of the things I still enjoy to this day. All of the things I still enjoy to this day.
But let me tell you, do you remember this time you came to visit me after school and you had to wait for it to stop raining because the windshield wiper stopped working on the Markini?
Girl, yes. This is when you was up there all the way in, at the top of Maryland, honey. All the way at the top of Maryland and bridge off a bridge, Cheney Road or something like that.
Yes.
And
yes.
Listen, I'm talking about I've had some luxury cars in my day. I've had some hoopties, baby. But let me tell you, yes, it was raining too hard and the windshield wiper on the driver's side was not working.
I was like, not that you gotta wait till it stop raining. Hold on.
I forgot about that.
It's like, what if it stopped raining when you're trying to drive back? Like, no, we had to get you better. Then we had your housewarming when you was working for Metro.
I still have those pictures though.
Yes, and you had the that's when you had little baby locks at the time. That's before.
Yeah, you were pregnant, weren't you pregnant?
No, not yet. I don't think so.
Oh. That was 2009.
No, I wasn't pregnant yet. Mm-mm.
Okay, my housewarming was 2009. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I came to celebrate your birthday, and I may have been pregnant then.
Okay.
Maybe it's a possibility because we went to Fridays for your birthday.
We did. Oh my!
Or did
God,
I get pregnant the year after that? I don't know, but.
That was a while back. Jeez.
I know. It's so long, right? It seems so long ago. I mean, it is so long ago.
It was.
It feels like yesterday.
2010. You know? It was 2010, right. That birthday.
And I got pregnant at the end of 2010. So I wasn't pregnant yet. I got pregnant at the end of 2010.
Okay. Yeah, July 2010. That's when I had that birthday party at Fridays. Yeah.
So let's talk about this. When we were in college, there was a whole girlfriend. Okay? Then when we was at Fridays, it looks like we're transitioning out of girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? Like,
and you're talking about me for those that don't I'm talking know. About, you're talking about me yes. having girlfriends, and then
I'm talking about whole, you okay. having girlfriends. Okay.
Okay.
So back then, you was mm-hmm. my brother.
Mm-hmm.
My brother Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
But now before us, it's Miss Monroe.
Absolutely.
So, when did this come about? Like, how was I not privy to you possibly wanting to transition?
So this has always been an excellent, you know, this has always been an excellent thing for me because I think oftentimes a lot of people don't know the severity of the identity struggle. You know, I've always knew that this girl was inside, you know, even from a very early age, I knew that this is the girl that I knew when I got introduced to identity. And this is in elementary school. And once I got introduced to gender roles, that's when I knew that something was different. I remember a specific time in elementary school when I had started school and me and a friend of mine at the time, her name was Sarah, we were having a wonderful time, you know, laughing, joking, all of those things that people, you know, the children do in elementary school. And it was bathroom break time. Now here, now this is what I usually say when it comes to the whole bathroom thing and, you know, people in the trans community talking about bathrooms and stuff like that. At home, we all use the same bathroom. My mom used the same bathroom as my dad. My dad used the same bathroom as my other siblings. I used the same bathroom. So when Sarah and I went to the bathroom for break and bathroom time, as I followed her into the bathroom, the teacher like pulled me back and was like, no, you go over there. And I'm like, well, why do I go over there when me and Sarah are the same? And that's when I realized that there is something different. And then it wasn't until I got home later on that day and I started to really pay attention that I was getting reprimanded or disciplined for doing things that came natural to me, like wanting to play with Barbies and loving Tool and wanting to do hair and, you know, all of the things that I liked that defined me and who I was. I got beat for those things. So therefore I had to jump into survival mode. You know, I have all brothers. I have an older brother and a younger brother. So now I have to become someone else to survive. So I always knew that this girl was on the inside, but the older I got, the more I suppressed and tried to be who people wanted me to be. And even in college, you know, now that we're older, you know, I can tell this story. You know, I had boyfriends in college. You know, I had a girlfriend in the first year of college in 2005, and I really loved her. But it, now that I look at it in hindsight, because we never did anything sexual besides kiss, you know, that I was saving for marriage because I still to this day can't imagine me and the vagina coming head on. I'm surprised that I have one. But I love my vagina, you know, but that's, I'm sure we'll get to that later. But yeah, I had boyfriends in college. Some attended the college, but we're going to leave that at that. And, you know, yeah, so once me and my girlfriend at the time, first year of college, broke up, there were no more girls. It was all guys.
So I guess I'm like, dang, because I really felt like we were close. I mean, of course I had my suspicions, but of course I never went to like, overstep my bounds. Like I felt like when you were ready to tell me that, you would tell me. But I was like, does this come as a shock to me? Not necessarily, but I think the fact that you went and changed, like,
yeah,
you're officially Monroe, like legally,
yeah,
anatomy wise, like official. Yes. I think that may have been like, oh my gosh, but it's still not like blindsided, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, so my biggest excuse in college, or when people usually ask me about my sexuality in college, you know, it was always I want when I want when I want it, you know, or you know, I'm myself and whoever I fall in love with is whoever I fall in love with. I never really answered the question, you know. I was really good at ducking and dodging that, you know. Or, you know, as you, I don't know how much of college you remember, but, you know, there was a lot of talks of, you know, me being involved with a lot of different men and, you know, all of those things. And it was just, it was weird. Our college was completely different from, you know, the whole other college experience because we were a small campus. You know, we were a large campus, but a small dorm. So, like, our dorms were apartment style. It was like a 5-building U kind of thing, and everybody knew everybody's business. You could see everybody in those creep late night moments, and you know,
trying to come through the courtyard,
trying to come around and going through the courtyard, and you know, all of that. So, you know, it was weird, it was different, and you know, but yeah, I was still me.
Okay, so I feel like fast forward, we're out of school. Now you're starting to lock your hair. I feel like you were kind of still more becoming you. Like you were coming to terms like, I'm not going to keep suppressing who I am. I'm going to be me. I feel like that's when that kind of, you were coming, I guess you could say that was like coming out.
Yeah. So my I guess come out story took place in 2008, right after college, right after we left college. And I moved out. I was waiting to move out. My biggest fear with the whole coming out thing was I didn't want to be put out. I didn't want to be abandoned because I already suffered from abandonment issues. And so I didn't want to actually physically be abandoned. And so when I was able to have enough money and have enough jobs and move out and have the keys to my own place, that's when it was, you know, by the way, mom and dad, I have a boyfriend, you know, and then it was like, oh, where the hell that came from? You know, my mother was like, oh, child, stop. And my father was like, I never saw this coming. And I'm like, child, stop what you doing, you know. And so, yeah, that's how that happened. But that was in 2008. And after that, you know, once I found that liberation and me having my own place and me being sufficient enough to take care of myself is when I really came into who I was. Like, I didn't have my first gay friend until 2008, 2009.
Really?
Like, actual best friend. I mean, as you know, I had my best friend in school at the time, Jarrell. But, you know, he was still having his own thing. And, you know, we it's kind of separated in a sense, if you know, if that makes sense, just like a grow apart thing. And so, like, my first adult gay friend, I met at Fridays. And he had, you know, I was always going to the Fridays, and he's still one of my best friends today. I was always going to the Fridays, and me and him connected. We were cancers, and, you know, he was like living out loud and living his best life, honey. And he was like, it's your birthday, I'm throwing you a birthday party. And he invited all these gays. Baby, it was like, oh my God, I'm actually having the experience of having gay friends and going to gay parties. Like, I remember talking to, I don't know if you remember, like, my sister Monique, me and her, like, that's my goddaughter's mother, like, that's my sister. And, you know, after I had that whole coming out moment and was talking to her, and she was like, listen, I'll go to the gay clubs with you. You know, I'll go to the scene with you and all of that, but I know nothing about being gay. Like, bitch, you might want to get you some gay friends that can you can have those gay conversations with and, you know, be gay with, bitch, because I don't know. You know, she was like, right. But I mean, she was extremely supportive. She was extremely, like, you know, gung-ho about the situation, but she was like, bitch, there are some things I don't have the answers to. You know, we in this together, but bitch, we're learning together. So, together. Yeah, I didn't get my first gay friend. Yeah, I didn't get my first real gay friend until, like, 2008. Well, my first real friend who happened to be gay until, like, 2008,
First of all, the gays know how to party. Like,
yes, they do. Yes,
I always have a good time when I go to the gay club. So it's fine.
Yeah.
But okay, so now understanding that, it's like, okay, that makes sense. Why, you know, because you have ducked and dodged the question. I'm like, so what is it? And it's like,
yeah,
it is what it is. And I'm like, okay. All right, so now we're coming up to Cocktails and Convo with Marco. I live for Cocktails and Convo with Marco. Like, I look forward to it.
Thank you.
What happened with Cocktails and Convos with Marco?
So the birth of Cocktails and Convo with Marco came in 2012, 2013. A friend of mine had a vlog at the time. He is now and was then, you know, a larger than life personality. He had his own, you know, he had his own YouTube thing going on, and he was just like everything. Me and him were like, God, I wish, like, us together. You know, we were really having, like, these really great kiki moments. We would laugh and we would joke. And he was a larger than life, he is this, like, larger than life personality. And he's, you know, he's 6'8 or 6'7 or whatever. He's really tall. And, you know, he was really different and he dressed different and, you know, all of these things. And he had a really successful blog on YouTube. And I told him that I wanted to do something like that. I really wanted to, and I didn't know how, I didn't know where it would come from. And he's like, just do it. Like, just do it. And then I saw T.S. Madison and I was like, oh my God, I love her. And I was like, I think that you know, after hearing her story and really figuring out what a trans woman was, because I didn't know what trans, I didn't know, you know, I didn't know what a trans woman was. I knew that I enjoyed makeup. I knew that I identified, you know, more with the female anatomy. I I had feelings of who I was. I had all these feelings and things that I couldn't necessarily pinpoint, you know, and when I saw her and I saw her living out loud and living in her truth and stuff, that was like what really put the nail in the coffin for me to create something that would allow me to be my authentic self and to incorporate what I loved to do at the time, which was cocktail. And that's how Cocktails and Combo was started, you know, and then it just, I don't know, it just evolved, you know, with the, hey, you guys, and welcome to another episode of Cocktails and Convo with Marco. Cocktails and Convo.
Yes. Yes.
That,
yeah, yeah.
That was in 2013. Yeah.
Yes. I was like, no, hold on. I got to watch Cocktails and Convo with Marco. I got to participate. Like, let him know I'm here. Like, come on.
Yeah, thank you. And, thank you.
Yeah, so I've been, you know, I'll be following, okay? Because as soon as I scroll down the timeline and I see this, I already know it's about to be something good. Beach. Do it. Do it one time. Do it one time. Do it one time.
Beach.
Yes. Good evening. Good evening. I'm like, uh-oh, what's the tea about to come out? What's happening? Yeah.
And you know, everybody asks me, where did I get that from? You know what? And it's so crazy because it just naturally happened. Like everything that I've done, it naturally and organically came to life because, you know, when you're outside and you're out in the street and you're about to video or you're about to take a picture, the first thing we do is look around and see who's looking before we hold the phone up or before we do anything. And so I felt like, you know, I was about to spill some really good juicy tea, honey. And then I was like, ooh, who's listening to this? And even though I'm about to post it on social media, but that's how that came about.
So I know that now we have, there's no more cocktails. We drink tea and coffee.
Yes,
so
what
happened to the cocktails?
So, about almost three years ago, I really hit like a low place. You know, when it came to really discovering who I was with my identity and where I wanted to be. And, you know, I was in a really dark place. You know, a lot of dark and traumatic things happened to me in my life. You know, I mean, from sexual abuse to emotional, to mental, to physical abuse. And you know, that's a lot to put on someone 11. That's a lot to put on someone 13. That's a lot to put on someone 15, you know, and I didn't have anyone to talk to. I didn't feel like I could talk to my parents. I didn't feel like I could talk to my siblings. And not that they weren't loving and understanding or not that they wouldn't have been those things, but just out of all the chain of events that took place, you know, from learning what gender roles was and being scolded for being a certain type of way. So how can I trust you with how I feel if this is what you do from just knowing how I operate and act on a daily basis, you know? And I turned to alcohol, you know, I turned to alcohol to give me the courage to be who I wanted to be, you know, and be that person without remembering all of the sexual trauma or all the physical trauma that took place. And it just kind of spiraled. Once I fell in love and got my heart broken over and over again. And, you know, after hearing so many times, I was perfect for them, but just not at that time, or, you know, being second best. And, you know, when living as someone in the LGBT community, you know, I had become accustomed to secrets, you know, so I then became the bearer of secrets. You know, I became the mistress, the side piece to, you know, men who were in relationships, men who were married, men who were on the down low. You know, I became that person. And that's a lot. You know, as much as people like to make it seem like it's this extravagant and luxurious life, it really comes with a lot of emotional and mental turmoil. And about 3 years ago, it just was at an all-time low. You know, I was suicidal and homicidal all at the same time and didn't know where to begin. You know, so I attempted suicide twice. And, you know, I was really trying to figure everything out and I was really alone. And I knew that I had been abusing alcohol and that was the cause and cure. You know, that was definitely what was hindering me from being the person that I knew that I was destined to be. You know, I was in a really dark, dark, dark place. And so I had enough. I had hit bottom when it came to work. I had hit bottom when it came to my personal life. I had hit bottom in every aspect of my life. And so I decided to get help. And so I went to treatment, I went to rehab, and I disappeared for about a good 3-4 months. And I really got the help that I needed. I was able to really allow the cloud and the fog and everything to clear and the true Monroe Alice to emerge. And here she sits before you as a more spiritually intuned, mentally involved a woman.
My goodness. So are you still like following up with therapy, or do you feel like
absolutely now that,
oh, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Listen, I say all the time on my show, Monroe's Moments Check-In Time, you know, that people who need people are the luckiest people in the world, you know, and that doesn't mean necessarily financially, because a lot of people love to believe, like myself, you know, I can take care of me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need you to give me anything. I can take care of me. But mentally, you know, you need people. Emotionally, you need people. Spiritually, you need people. And so people who need people are the luckiest people in the world. I have a therapist, a psychiatrist, a spiritual advisor, a life coach, a pastor, a priest, a pope, a minister, a deacon, a deaconess, and we all hold meetings on Tuesday.
Amen.
No, but seriously, I think that a lot of people take mental wellness not seriously enough. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think everyone at some point in time, if they are lucky enough, if they are blessed enough, and if they are fortunate enough and have the capacity to really expand their mind to get help on anything that they could possibly potentially be going through with a therapist or a psychiatrist or spiritual advisor or whatever outside help they may need, just to help better yourself, it can't hurt.
And I totally agree. You know, one day I was talking to my husband, and I was like, you know, the women who get in the car and drive themselves off the bridge with their kids in the car, I don't see me being that woman, but I got to a point where I understood what took them there. So it's like, so I'm telling you, we need to work on some things because I'm feeling overwhelmed. So not that I want to actually do this, but the fact that I understand, it's like, I don't think they're
crazy. We need to change some things.
Yeah, we need to change some things, you know? So, but it's hard to have conversations with people because then they judge you. You get what I'm saying? Now you're crazy because you understand it why somebody else did an action that you may not do. But it's just like, when you get to a breaking point and you actually like, I need help.
Yeah.
I just wish that it wasn't such a negative connotation with needing help. You know,
but see, and that's the thing, you know, communication is something that we've definitely pushed down. You know, and when I say we, I mean society, you know, we have created the normalcy of public lies and private truths. You know, I lived it. I was living a public lie with all these private truths held so close to me that it damn near killed me. And when you try to communicate that with someone else who was dealing with their own communication issues, their own trauma, you know, their own abuse and all of those things, the first thing we do is we try to push that to the side. Like, think about it. When you go to work, if you had the worst weekend at work ever, that Monday morning, you're, hi, how are you? I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. Sure, no problem. I'll have that. Because we put on that mask.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we show the world. We live that public lie, and then we come home and we deal with that private truth of the abuse, mental, spiritual, physical, financial, or emotional. We deal with those insecurities, those feelings of inadequacy, or those feelings of not enough. And instead of us reaching out, we fear what someone will say if we say we need help.
Because what happens is I hate it when someone asks me like how I'm doing, but they're really not in a position to understand, like for me to really pull how I'm doing on them, because I'm not doing good. So I want to blah, 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 blah. Like, this is what's going on. You get what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's this whole, like, I've been talking to my friends lately because apparently I give trust too fast. Like, I'm the type of person, like, I meet you, your trust is already at 100. So it's on you if you break it down. You get what I'm saying? Versus where when you meet someone else may meet someone and your trust is at 0 and you got to build it up, right? Mm-hmm. So I give people the opportunity to throw something in my face. My husband's like, you need to stop being so trusting, stop like befriending people so quickly. But at the same time, I was speaking to someone because I did this ministry program, and in the ministry program, they told me, like, don't change who you are because society may not be ready for you. You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But at the same time, you know what I'm saying? You can look at it on both sides of the coin, like, because if I continue to be this way, I'm giving people opportunities to hurt me. But if I put a guard up, then I may not be that breakthrough someone needed. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, so absolutely. 120%. Absolutely, 120%. Yeah. You know, the thing about that is, as I say on my show, you know, and as I really preach in a sense, or really try to teach people on my show about, you know, how to definitely put yourself first, make you the priority. You know, oftentimes I think a lot of people don't realize that everything starts with self. Mm-hmm. Everything starts with self. If you, the individual, is okay, then you treat you better, you treat other people better. You know, if you are kind to yourself, you're kind to other people. You know, if you take time to really pamper yourself and really be kind to you, then it wouldn't seem like a task to be kind to someone else. If you deposit into you as much as you've been able to deposit into somebody else, then you will be a better citizen of society. I mean, if you practice the two principles that I like to, you know, always abide by, is self-care, like definitely intensifying your self-care and practicing unconditional self-acceptance. Now, we teach people and we teach our children self-acceptance all the time, but we don't teach them unconditional self-acceptance. I wasn't taught unconditional self-acceptance. You know, I was taught to accept myself, but if it don't look like what you accept, then we have a problem as the parent. If I did something that my parent didn't like or tolerate or understand, then it was unacceptable. So how can I accept me when the me that I am, you don't accept? So you have to practice that unconditional self-acceptance, meaning that I accept me no matter what. No matter what it looked like to the world, no matter what I look like right now, no matter what my circumstance is right now, I accept me and know that this that's happening right now or going on with me right now won't last always. And if we take care of the person that is us, then we'll be fine. You know, we're all spiritual beings having a human experience. And I think we forget that the human part is the biggest part.
Mm-hmm. So now, you know, Cocktails and Convos with Marco has ended. You know, you done had to disappear for a little bit because I was like, well, I ain't seen you. I was looking for you. I ain't seen you in a bit. So when did the transition begin? And did you have a conversation with your family prior to? Or was that something you did on your own?
Absolutely, 120% on me. So that everything that I did when it came to my sexuality or, you know, like my identity, I did like surprise, you know. So like with the whole me being gay, I showed up one day over my parents' house right after I got the keys to my new place and was on the phone talking to my best friend, my homegirl at the time. And my best friend, one of my closest friends still today. And she was outside parking the car. And I was like, okay, boo, you outside? All right, okay, well, I'm about to come meet you outside. And my mother and father was like, who are you talking to? Who's outside? And I was like, my lover's here. And my father was like, okay, well, he can come in, but I'm gonna make sure he right here so that I can see him leave too. And that was the way that they knew that I was attracted to boys at the time, or it was confirmed. And my mom always knew, my father said he didn't, but that was how they, it was confirmed, even though it was my homegirl outside, but that was me saying, yes, I am, you know? And so when the transition happened, I believe it was 2012, maybe 2011, I had already started dibbling and dabbling in makeup and, you know, and I had incorporated makeup into my everyday at that time as a gay man, you know, like doing my eyebrows and my foundation and stuff like that. And, I started my acting career, and I had auditioned. I heard about a role. I actually got I got cast, I guess, for a role as a trans woman in a play that was coming out. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. You know, like I'll take the part. And I was just happy to be acting, child. And So during the cold read, we had to show up as our character. I didn't have any female clothes. You know, at that time, I still had a goatee. And so I was like, okay, well, you know what? This will be the day. So I shaved off my goatee and I threw on a skirt and, you know, I threw on, I asked my mother, my father was gone. I was living with my parents at the time. My father was gone and I had asked my mother, can I borrow her skirt? And she was like, for what? And I was like, well, you know, I'm acting and I have to show up as my character, and my character is a trans woman. You know, that's a man who is now a woman, and, you know, trying to explain it to her. I'm like, oh, it's for a role. You know, this is just, you know, it's just for TV. I'm going to be really famous. I'm going to make us a lot of money. Like, just let me see the damn skirt, you know? And so as I got dressed and I did my makeup and I came downstairs, I was trying to get out the house before my father came in the house. And when I got downstairs, my father was coming in the door. He was like, what the fuck? Like, okay, now this is, I was like, listen, it's for a role. I am definitely going to make us a lot of money. You'll like it. Like, just don't. This is not an everyday thing. Calm down. And so I got the role, of course. And then they told me that I needed to have like different looks for the role. So I went shopping. And I started buying girl clothes. And I started, like, I'll never forget, my homegirl had took me to Ashley Stewart. And we were, like, all on the sales ride because, you know, I'm tall and big, and I was huge then. And she had took me in. I had bought all these girl clothes and all these colorful jeans and, like, all these frilly, like, beautiful things, honey. And child, when I tell you, I put those clothes on and never took them off. I never grew my facial hair back. I never, went back to the whole boy thing. I think at that time, I would even go as far as to say that I was non-binary. I didn't really necessarily say I was girl or boy. I was just myself. You know, I was myself. One day you might catch me with makeup on and, you know, all dolled up. And the next day you might catch me with a 5 o'clock shadow or a beard. It was whatever I felt like giving you that day. And that really sparked the identity journey. And then I want to say 5 years ago, what's this? Yeah, 5 years. December will make 5 years. 5 years ago, I decided that I was going to start taking hormones and that I would then become who I felt that I always had been, which is Monroe. And I changed my name socially, meaning that I had started requesting that everyone call me Monroe. And I went to the doctor by myself. I had asked my mom to go with me to, you know, see about the process of hormones and what that would look like for me. And she was like, Chad, you're not going to have me in there crying and going through all of that. I'm not doing that with you, you know. And I was, of course, at that time, I was abusing alcohol still. And, you know, I was a lush. And I remember sitting in that doctor's office. It was like November the 8th. I mean, it was December the 8th. And 2006. And I was sitting in there and 2006. I was sitting in the office and I was crying because the doctor had told me that, you know, if I started taking hormones, it was a possibility that I wouldn't have children. And, you know, that, you know, this is like final. And, you know, I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I really want to do this. And I decided that it was something that I wanted to do. And I filled the prescription and I started my hormone therapy.
Kind of wait into before you came out, because you said 2007 2006.
I mean, I'm sorry, not 2007 2006, I'm talking about 2014. I think it was 2015. Okay. 2016. Okay. sorry yeah, no, 2015.
Okay. 2016. Yeah, okay, yeah. So of course, like, I've been following the journey, right? And I'm trying not to go out of order, but
okay.
My question is, because you said if you started taking the hormones, you wouldn't be able to have the kids. But let's build up. I'ma hold my question. I'ma remember. I'ma put it in my handy dandy notebook. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So you start the process, okay? So we remove facial hair. Now we beat for the gauze all the time. Eyebrows always popping, okay? First
thank
of all.
You, darling.
I need
you.
A tutorial. Let's get on here and give me a tutorial so I can slay like you.
Thank you. This, I didn't even do this. This beat came from Dawit. Shout out to Dawit. Thank you so much for my makeup today.
The professional beat today. So you started I guess you started with your breasts. You got the pill.
So actually, I was always big. I was always a big person. So I had breasts. You know, I mean, they were like saggy man booby, but you know, I always had breasts. And so when I had started hormoning and started wearing bras, it was just a really great push-up bra that, like, you know, pushed the girls out, you know. But 3 years ago, come April, I got my breast done. So yeah, so the first surgery that I had was my breast. I got my breast done 3 years ago. Yeah.
Cause I was like, you know, I was fucking a cookie and I was like, no, I think, cause you haven't come to us to tell us to start calling you Monroe yet. So I'm like, no, I think Marco just got on a bra. Like, I don't think he did anything.
It was
I just think
a bra.
You know what I'm saying? But when you started to lose the weight, I was like, well, how he still keep the fat in the titty? Like,
when I had my weight loss surgery in 2013, so the same year I started Cocktails and Combo, I had a weight loss surgery. And once the weight started falling off, I had the gastric sleeve, and my breast stayed. Like, I don't, this, God did it. I mean, you know, I lost weight everywhere else, but my breast was the same. My breast stayed, and my stomach and everything just started to disappear. So I just started building up.
Pause. You had the sleeve done?
I had the sleeve in 2013. I had the gastric. So in all honesty, I had the lap band first in 2012. And that surgery was a bust. It was a waste of time. And so in 2013, August 31st, I had the sleeve. In 2013, August 31st, I had the gastric sleeve. And yeah, and that's when the weight loss just journey started, yeah, skyrocketing.
So you had the surgery, but at the same time you was abusing the alcohol too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So was that causing you to be sick? Because it's like you have restrictions after you have the surgery, right?
Yeah, no. So I did everything that I needed to do to have the surgery. I waited the 2 weeks. I lost that. I went on my liquid diet. I did everything that the surgeon told me to do. I even stopped drinking for a while. What I know to be true about me is that anything I set my mind to, I can definitely accomplish, you know? And so I was so serious about having that surgery that I did what I needed to do. I stopped drinking, I stopped everything. And once the surgery was successful, and once the doctor had approved, said that I could start eating, and he gave me that strict regimen, I did everything. And when he started saying that I can eat again, I started drinking again.
I was actually contemplating having that surgery because I am the biggest I have ever been in my whole entire life. Right now
you look amazing
and
you look nice.
You're so sweet. You're supposed to say that to me, but you're so sweet.
Nah.
But even though, and I feel like you'll probably understand this, right? People can give you the compliments, but if you don't feel it within yourself,
absolutely,
you know, it's just
absolutely,
it's not there, you know. It's
absolutely
giving,
body dysphoria. To this day, it's hard for me to say compliments.
So it's just like, you know, it's something I really was seriously contemplating. I'm suffering from high blood pressure. You know, a part of that could be weight, a part of that could be stress and anxiety, because you know, becoming a mom, I'm a mother to a Black boy in this society that we live in, with police brutality and
absolutely,
you know, all types of things. I'm married to a Black man. I fear for him too in certain aspects. So it's just like, I don't think that I'm ever at like ease. It's just like my mind's
peace.
Always
running. You're never at peace. Yeah.
Ever. So, but I did go to the meeting, the initial meeting for the weight loss surgery. And then I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to really dedicate myself to trying to lose some weight. And then if I don't lose the weight, then I'm going to have the surgery. But of course, my husband doesn't want me to have the surgery. But at the same time, it's like, I gotta do it for me, because that's what's gonna make me feel good.
Yeah.
I don't like buying them double-digit clothes at the store.
Girl, you and I.
It's one thing if it's like a 12 or 14, honey. But when we get to these 18s and 20s, it's not giving cute. Okay.
I remember.
Not
it
that
all they're too well, honey.
Right. Not that I'm not saying I'm not bashing. But you know, there
no,
are
absolutely
women who wear the 20s that look good.
Listen, it's gonna look good, honey, on me. My first pair of women's jeans was a 22, so I completely understand.
Yeah, see, you know. All right. So you get the breast down. What you get? What is you? You could have took some of mine.
So I have 800 cc's in each breast. So I fluctuate now with the weight loss journey that I'm on now. I fluctuate anywhere between a 36 to a 40 double D.
Oh, yeah. You could have had these because you know what these is? These is G's.
Jeez, no, honey. I can't do nothing with G, baby. If it ain't a grand, if it ain't a grand, if it ain't a couple, if it ain't 10 Benjamins, honey, I can't do nothing with it.
Well, I wish that's what these were sitting up here. They could have been some money makers, right?
Listen, so, absolutely.
Yeah, girl. But that's another reason why I want to get rid of this. Like, it's too much. Give me a C. I'm good. I don't think I need that. I don't think I need all this. But I don't have no A, so maybe I do need this. So my husband has something to look at.
Well, you got him now, child. I mean, you got him. It's just maintenance. Yeah, he's got to maintain.
Okay.
You
know, okay. Yeah, do a little squat or something. Get a little squat regimen going on. He be out.
You just got to maintain it, baby.
Okay. So you get the surgery. How do people react when you come back? Now you got nice, voluptuous tiggo bitties.
People honestly didn't even notice the difference. They're like, you always had breasts. And I'm like, I know, but like now I'm braless, you know, like these are my, you know, like I was floating, honey. I mean, I remember when I first got these girls, you could not keep me, like you couldn't put clothes on me. I mean, wintertime I had on deep V cut. I mean, it was just a mess. And even to this day, don't get me wrong, you know, I enjoy thoroughly some cleavage. I'm not as gifted in the ass department either. And so I play to my strengths, you know, Mm-hmm. Some say my face, some say my breasts, some say, you know, depending on who you ask, they'll give you a different strength of mine. But when I got my girls done, I definitely played to them. I love them. People still swear I have like some of the best breasts ever. I don't know why. Yeah. Like people don't get implants right. All the time, but whatever.
Yeah, but they don't even look fake though. They look really.
That's because I had. I'm not going to give the show, but that's because I had like I had stuff to play with before. You know, like my doctor didn't need to. Like my doctor didn't have that like hard of a time because there was always a breast pocket to slide the bag in. It was like perfect. It was made for it.
And do you have, is it like maintenance on them? Like, do you have to go get them checked up on or?
I believe that, well, I mean, I wasn't informed that I was, but I know people that have had breast augmentations and stuff. And I know that with the risk of silicone, because my breasts are silicone, I know that with the risk of silicone, eventually what I'm hoping to do probably in the next 10 years probably is have them removed. How old am I? 33? Yeah, probably within the next 10 years, maybe even 5 to 7, I want to get them removed and just do a fat transfer. Now they have a procedure where you can actually just take the silicone out and try, you know, the same way you do a fat transfer, like a BBL, where you take the fat and put it in your butt. You can now take the fat and put it in your breast. So everything is real. I don't want to have any type of foreign objects in me at all, eventually.
Got you. Okay, so next on the journey is, was that down here in the Netherlands?
Yeah, so the only work that I've got done, this is contrary to popular belief, a lot of people like to believe that I've had face work, I've never had my face done, you know, it's just gray jeans, shout out to my mom.
Yes, because you look just like her.
Yeah, I mean, it's my mom. So I've only had my breasts done and my vagina. I had a vaginoplasty a year ago. It'll be 2 years in November, but I just celebrated my kiddiversary last November the 12th. And so it's been 1 year since I got my vagina. Yeah.
So how was that? Like, I'm not even gonna lie to you, okay? When you posted that you was getting that done, I was Googling. I'm like, what is my sister about to do to herself? Like, what is going on? That's a lot down there. You got to go pee, you know?
I still
like,
do.
What's the recovery? Like, what was going on? So I was on Google trying to figure it out. I wanted to educate myself so I ain't come out here talking reckless, not knowing what I was talking about. But I'm gonna let you share your story because I was Googling. Like, what is Monroe doing?
Okay, so
how was that?
It was, I mean, like every, you know, I always say it was like every other surgery, but of course, I want to preference this part of the conversation by saying that my womanhood was never defined by what was between my legs. And I want to say that to my trans siblings, that you don't have to have any type of surgery at all to be defined or be introduced or be who you authentically are. You are who you say you are. You are who you say you are. And if you want to identify as a woman, you identify as a woman. Your womanhood is not determined by what's between your legs. You know, I say that all the time. You know, last time I checked, when you're filling out a job application and before you pick your gender, you don't say, okay, am I yet? Okay. And then you sign off on the paper. You don't look between your legs to define whether or not you're a man or a woman. You mm-hmm. are what you feel that you are. And so, for my journey, for my transition, having gender reassignment surgery or sexual reassignment surgery was necessary for my journey. That was something that I needed for my transition. That is not every woman's transition. That is not every trans person's like idea or goal, or that's not something that they all want to accomplish. This was just specifically tailor-made for me and my journey. And that was something that I felt necessary because it was a constant reminder for me. It was a part of my body that I didn't use, I didn't like looking at, I didn't enjoy. And it was always the reminder of what I wasn't born. And so I knew that it was pivotal for my journey. Like I said, I went through the necessary channels of getting it done. I saw several psychiatrists. I saw some therapists. I had conversations with my spiritual advisors, and I really thought about it. I've thought about it for quite a long time. And I saw the video of what was going to take place and what they were going to do and how all of that was going to transition and happen. And I still wanted it. It was something that I needed to do for me. And the surgery was successful. It was absolutely successful.
So here was the question I was going to ask you a little bit ago. And now we can ask, because we're getting into this part of the conversation.
Okay.
So, before you had the surgery, I remembered you got to freeze your sperm.
Yes. So
the hormones didn't affect that.
So with that story, so I did do the process of freezing my sperm for the hopes of having children in the future. However, due to my own procrastination, I take full accountability and ownership on this part. I waited till literally the day before my surgery to send off my specimen. And I sent the specimen off only to find out while I was in the hospital after having the surgery that the specimen that I sent off was no good. I am not able to have any biological children of my own as of now. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Thank you. Yeah, you know, it was tough hearing that. It was something that I had to definitely talk to my spiritual advisor about and to my therapist about, because I always wanted to have a child of my own. You know, Brooklyn was always going to be my little girl. She was going to be here, you know, Brooklyn Brand. And I wanted her to have parts of me, you know, I wanted her to have biological makeup that resembled mine. However, you know, the dream is not lost. You know, I'm still able to have children in some way, shape, form, or fashion. There's all these new different ways. You know, there are so many children that are in need of a loving home. And when the opportunity comes, I'll definitely, you know, go through the proper channels and everything that I need to, you know, make my home open to a child in need.
Okay. Well, I'm happy that you are able to look at it as at the glass half full versus half empty.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So now that you had the procedure done, is it reversible? Like, if you ever wanted to go back, can you go back?
I wouldn't. I assume that it is definitely 120% non-reversible. But that's not even an option for me. That's not that even an option for me. Like, I am thoroughly enjoying this life. You know,
I like Kitty.
You know, hello, Kitty. She's a hoot. You know, this side is so It's so different, but it's amazing.
So what was recovery for that, having that procedure?
I was on bed rest for 30 days. I was in the hospital for a stint of like a week. I was on bed rest for 30 days. Literally just in bed. I was on pain meds, you know, really having to go through the recovery, really having to go through the recovery process. And that was that, you know, after regaining, because, you know, it's a major surgery, you know, after regaining, you know, my strength and, you know, building back up my strength and stuff. It was good. You know, it's perfectly fine. I mean, you can definitely, anyone that is interested in all of that, you know, can definitely look at the gory details of recovery from gender reassignment surgery or sexual reassignment surgery online. But the actual physical recovery and the healing process was great. You know, I was on bed for 30 days. Then after about 30 to 60 days, my doctor cleared me to be able to go back and do, you know, regular and normal things. After 90 days, I was able to, you know, I was free to do whatever I wanted to do when it came to my body. Sex. Yeah.
So is sex like, do you need lubricant or will it naturally get a little wet? Like,
how? Absolutely. Okay. So this is the, you know, it's something that's like one of the most normal, or I guess like, it's like one of the most asked questions. You know, I have a operable vagina, meaning that everything that a cisgendered woman's vagina does, mine does. And by cisgendered, I mean a person who was born female and identifies as female is what cisgendered means. Anyone that is cisgendered is the person that was born one sex and still identifies as that sex. So you are cisgendered. It doesn't matter who you'd like to sleep with. It is about what you identify as. So as a biological cisgendered woman, I mean, I have the normal functionality of a cisgendered woman's vagina. The only two things that I am not able to do is give birth and have a menstrual cycle. I don't bleed.
What? So it's basically like you got a hysterectomy. Like, had a hysterectomy. That's it.
Yeah. So when it comes to lubricant, is what you're saying. So yes, I naturally get moist. You know, it's so different on this side because, you know, casual sex is not something that I can have anymore. I have to be attracted. There has to be some type of lead up. You know, she has a mind of her own. She has to like you in order for her to work, you know.
That's like, okay, so you've never been with a woman. Like, you ain't never, you went never. So it's like,
I never had sex with a woman before now.
Woman. So it's like, I'm trying to compare apples to oranges here. I'm trying to understand, like.
What do you mean you're trying to compare apples to oranges?
Because I was, you know, a part of me, like, one day, like, if I could be like, you know what? I want a dick. I want to see what it's like to have a dick.
So, but I mean, I've had penetrative sex before. If that's what you're asking me. Like, I've used it, but the sex is different. The orgasm is different because the mental for me is different. When I first had my first orgasm with the vagina, it was like earth shattering, mind boggling. Like I thought it was an earthquake outside. And someone had mentioned to me that it was because now the outside matches the inside. So it's just an overall experience, but it's still an orgasm nonetheless. I mean, you know.
You rather that orgasm versus.
Absolutely.
A penis one.
Absolutely.
So I'm like really like. I'm really like mind blown that it just works like regular. Like, science has come such a long way. That's what I'm
saying.
It's just like,
absolutely.
That's what I mean. Not like I'm mind blown you did it, just the fact that it works properly. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it's just there. You get what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. I'm grateful. I mean, you know, with every surgery, there could have been potentially complications, or, you know, everyone isn't, you know, whether it was an arm surgery, a leg surgery, an eye surgery, whatever, every surgery has the possibility of complications. And I'm really, really grateful that I have no complications. You know, I'm able to use the bathroom. I'm able to do everything that I was able to do before. So I'm grateful.
And do we have to get the woo-ha checked out? Like, now do you go to
the gynecologist? Yes. I'm actually in the business of looking for a new gynecologist. You know, my primary doctor, I'm in the process of looking for a new gynecologist, but I get my shoe checked out just like normal. You know, I get Brazilian waxes. Every girl doesn't get waxed, but I have to keep my box nice and clean. You know, nice and tidy and groomed.
I like a clean box.
Listen, baby, there's something about that wax, baby.
So okay. So let me ask you this, right? So, were you getting waxed before?
No.
Or did you start that after? Okay, so you started that
after. I started the waxing after.
Okay. So, I remember the first time I got waxed, right? No one tells you this. I don't know why no one tells you this, but you cannot squat and pee after you get waxed because the pee goes everywhere.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I was already dealing with that right after the surgery, trying to learn how to squat. Like, I remember being out, so mind you, on bed rest, you know, I'm at home, so I'm using my toilet, sitting on my toilet, you know, peeing. And out and about, I remember I was at Busboy and Poets, my first outing at brunch, since I had it. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know how to squat over a toilet. Like, I don't know how to use a public bathroom. Like, this is crazy. And I was so nervous. I was so scared. And one of my homegirls, one of my sugar poos that watched my show, because I had posted it, you know, I did a video on learning how to squat. And she was like, girl, squat and lean forward, it'll work. And I literally squatted over the toilet and leaned forward. And I really did. I was so excited. Like, when I tell you, I was so excited. But what people don't tell you is that after waxing, that the trajectory, you know, yes, it definitely is.
It has a mind of its own. So I was out in the bathroom, you know, squatting. Next thing I know, I'm like, what?
You will piss your clothes. You will piss your clothes. Okay?
Shout out to me having on a dress that day. Because if I would have had on some bottoms, Lord Jesus, I would have been walking around pissy. Okay. FYI, all the ladies listening to this, when you get your woo-ha wax, please make sure you have some toilet covers or something. So you can
take your bottoms off.
Yeah, take your bottoms clear off so they don't get pissy. Okay, so what happened with City Boys? Wasn't that the reality show back in, what happened to that show? Because it stopped and then it picked back up and did a stop again.
Mm-hmm. So City Boys is no more. Now, what has happened is we have, production has revamped and rebranded the show because I am not a boy. And so, you know, this is no longer a city full of boys. So they've rebranded and the new name is The City DC. And we have been filming all weekend long. And I'm really excited for the sizzle reel that we were shooting. And, you know, we're shopping it around. I hope it does what it needs to do. I have a cast of, you know, eccentric people. And everything is still in the works.
You all are looking for a big network or will it potentially come out?
So he's shopping it around to different networks. And I don't know necessarily what the formula will be, but I can definitely tell you there's a lot of great footage and a lot of, you know, a lot of everything that people have enjoyed watching during this whole quarantine corona thing. It is definitely filled with all of that.
Okay. And then, you know, tell us about Monroe's Moments. Tell people how they can... Miraculous Monday, think about it. That's Thursday, right?
Yes, that's think about it Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah, so and then... so the show that I do daily on Facebook Live and Instagram Live, and which will soon be on different streaming sites and streaming networks, it's called Monroe's Moments presents Check-In Time. And I do that daily at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Facebook and Instagram. I'm live. It's an interactive show. You know, it's really live. And what that show is about, it's just really checking in mentally. So on Monday, we have a Miraculous Monday. Miraculous Monday is just the miracle of really making it to a whole new week, you know, really making it to a whole new week, able to really recognize that we have new possibilities, you know, a whole new week to make new decisions and accomplish so many new things. And then, you know, we have Transformation Tuesday, which is a Tuesday where we can realize that we're not who we used to be. We might not be where we want to be, but we are right where we need to be. And then we have Whatever Wednesday. Now, Whatever Wednesday is what I like to just do whatever, because it's hump day. Listen, I'm not worrying about watching my weight. I'm not worrying about making nobody happy but myself. I want to, if I want to indulge in a whole bunch of pancakes, baby, I'm going to indulge in a whole bunch of pancakes. And like I say, listen, Helen, if you want a hula hoop, Brittany, if you want to blow bubbles, Whitney, if you want to whistle when Dixie, bitch, throwing the theme song from Gilligan's Island, too, bitch, it's one of my favorites. You know what I'm saying? And just really intensify your self-care on Wednesday and practice that unconditional self-acceptance, because it's about you. You know, and think about it Thursday. Is think about all the things that you really accomplished in that week. Think about what you want to accomplish going forward. And think about what adjustments you think that you could make to achieve those goals and make those things more obtainable and more realistic. And, you know, really just going forward and heading in the direction of growth and pushing the needle forward. And then, baby, we have Fantastic Friday, you know. Fantastic Friday is just, bitch, we done made it to the end of another week. Lord knows we ain't know how we got here, but we here, you know, and it just really enjoy yourself. Everything that I talk about and everything that I do on Check-In Time or, you know, with Monroe's Moments, it's all about self. It's all about self-reflection. It's all about self-acknowledgement. It's all about really appreciating self and going on the inside and really trying to make a change. You know, like I say, change is inevitable. Growth is optional, and the growth is in your honesty. And it's really about being honest with yourself. You know, two of the hardest things in the world to do is to be honest with yourself and to love yourself. And I know that from personal experience, you know? So that is how that was birthed. And that is how it is going forward.
Yes, I tried to catch Monroe's Moments. I'm in school now, so it's hard for me to catch it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. You know, I'm in cosmetology school, so I can learn how to beat faces and do hair too, okay?
That's all. Well, listen, you have, listen, I love a good beat down, honey.
Okay, you're gonna let me come in. You're gonna be my muse. You're gonna be let me practice. Be my listen, canvas.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I went because I wanted to learn how to do nails, and then ended up actually enjoying the whole hair process as well. So you know, we'll see what's going. I did this for my daughter. My daughter has shown interest in cosmetology. I figured if I know the secrets, the behind the scenes, we could teach her. She and if she keeps picking up with it, we can, you know, establish some generational wealth, you know?
Absolutely.
So we're going to see. We're going to see what the end going to be.
Well, that is awesome. This has been awesome.
I know. Like, I so enjoyed it. We need to do this something, see each other. I miss you so much.
Absolutely. Listen, I get so COVID tested, like, at least once a week, child. So
that's because you're about to be famous. And I'm going to say I knew you when, okay? Like, I didn't just come about. I've been riding, okay, since the marquee.
Absolutely.
Okay?
You were shooting with me in the gym, baby. You were shooting with me in the gym.
Okay? So I do have, like, a little discussion group. So when the episode comes out, people can come and we could discuss the group. So I'll be sure to make sure you get sent in there. Invite so you can join, just in case people have questions. Purposely don't ask certain questions so that other people, if they want to ask, then that gives me a way for people to interact, you know, grow my little following. Okay, so what I like to ask before I end, because I'm not going to keep you because I know you're busy. What you been watching on TV?
When I get the chance to watch TV, so I miss everything that comes on in like real time. So I'm always watching things like after it comes on. I am still a, like, I still have a guilty pleasure in like reality TV. So when I can, I watch Basketball Wives or Real Housewives of Atlanta. You know, those are the two main things that I really, really watch when I have a chance to. I am thoroughly enjoying like Netflix and Hulu and stuff like that. I just finished the Jenny and Georgia series on Netflix.
Okay.
Phenomenal. I watched Lupin was really good. What else? Oh, me, oh my. I watched Winx, the saga, the what is it? The Fate of the Winx or the Fate of the Saga, something on Netflix. That was cute. You know, I like my magical, mystical, you know, fairy little stuff. What else? That's it. That's it. Like, what am I about to watch right now? So as I'm working, because I have to, you know, work after I get off of this, but I like to have some noise in the background. What would I be watching? I don't know. I think, then Housewives of Atlanta or something. Come on. I don't know. But those, I caught up on Queen Latifah's The Equalizer. That's a
oh
really
my gosh.
Show.
I like The Equalizer. I hate that people trying to talk
compare
about her,
the two. I like it.
Yeah. And I'm like it. It's different. And I like it. I'm enjoying
She's
it.
She's doing
I'm
a phenomenal job.
She really
I've been compared to Queen Latifah in this
life.
You do
give me
Queen
Latifah.
You know, the cheekbones. You do. And, you know, my mom looks like Queen Latifah, so, yeah.
She does. And now you got the hair color, too, right now.
That's
so
what
you,
it is,
you
yeah.
You're giving it to me. I know.
I
so now your
sister.
Mama got a... Yeah, because your mother got a whole twin. Like, you've always looked exactly like your mom, but now, like, you really live. Well, I really appreciate you for taking some time out to speak with me today and to following. I hope this only continuously to grow your following so you can have more people tuning into Monroe's moment.
Yeah.
And I love you so much.
I love you as well. Listen, and you guys can follow me on Instagram at Monroe Ali. P. That's MonroeAlisep and on Facebook at Monroe Alis.
Thank you, because that's what I was going to ask you, because we have to give props when they're due. Okay. I'm going to also put these hashtags at all that when I'm
thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, darling. I love you. And I'm definitely will be in touch.
All right.